just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Ask Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open, open on a Saturday morning, just for you. And if you have a legal question or a problem, I'm here to help you in any way I can. If I know the answer, we can get that to you pretty quickly. If I don't know the answer, hey, I'm first one to tell you that I don't know. But usually it can give you a little information, a little direction, a little, and some resources, perhaps, to get you going in the right direction. Your question can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, living wills. Can be just any kind of problem you have. It doesn't have to be a legal problem, because I've been around on, we've done this show for 34 years now and running. It's been, I think it's the longest running continual program in Florida, where I've been behind a microphone, usually behind several stations. We're broadcasting today on around 12 stations all around Florida. Also, I was nationally syndicated for a couple of years, so there's probably not too many questions I haven't had multiple times before, but I certainly would like to help you understand whatever problem you're involved in, if I can help get you some direction to go and some information about it, make you feel a little better, give you a little peace of mind. I'm glad to do that. Again, you're listening to a live radio show, Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law on a Saturday morning. We do this every Saturday morning from around 8:02 to 8:52, something like that. And it is live. So 877 is the toll-free number, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. And again, phone lines are open, and we are here to help you. So don't be shy. Actually, your question helps a lot of other people that are listening. The reason is you have a similar circumstance to what they have, and they may not be calling or might not even realize the severity of the situation they're in. And the conversation that we have that they're listening to also helps them. Again, 877-943-9673. 877 is your toll-free number, 943-9673. A lot of our questions on the show involve estate planning. Of course, we get lots of questions about all areas of law, but the ones involve estate planning usually involve questions like, is my out-of-state will that I did years ago valid in Florida? I would say that's probably the most often asked question that I've gotten over the years. So some question like that. I did a will when I was in, you know, a northern state, or doesn't matter what state it was, and I moved to Florida 20 years ago and I never updated my will. Is that still a valid will? Well, the answer is that it could be, but you could be you could do a lot better probably by having a Florida will. So the answer is that will should really be reviewed. I have wills almost every week where someone comes in from, they had a will a long time ago when their kids were minors and now they're retired, and their wills appoint guardians, create a trust for the minor inside the will, which would go through probate, by the way. And now, you know, you don't need to appoint a guardian for a minor, so that would be kind of a null and void clause. But because they were minors, you didn't name them as the personal representative or executor of the estate. So we make some modifications to the will. We either do a codicil or a change to the will or just a new will. And changes like that. Sometimes people come in and they have a personal representative named that was a friend in the state that they resided in. Well, hey, a friend doesn't qualify as a personal representative if they're from another state. To be the personal representative of a will, you have to be a blood relative or a resident of the state of Florida if you're a Florida resident doing a new will. I had a question yesterday, call from Georgia, and person had a relative in Florida, and the person in Florida had revoked a power of attorney to this person that was calling me, and the question was whether or not that would be a valid revocation, and what could they do about someone possibly interfering with the estate. Well, I can't. I practice law in Florida. I'm licensed in Florida, so can't really represent someone in another state, but this did concern a Florida resident, which I could be some help. So, hey, if you have a legal question of any type, give me a call. I have a toll-free number for you to call, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. I recently had a client that had, now first of all, I still see clients every day. I still don't charge for appointments to meet with clients to the first time to review old documents. There's no charge for that. No charge for our discussion about things that you can do or should do perhaps in the estate plan. So I had this couple come in. So I get clients, it doesn't matter to me whether you've got a $50,000 estate or $50 million estate. I mean, I've seen many, many clients in both of those categories and everything in between. This particular client had, oh, let's say $2 million. And let's say they had kids that were 24 and 26. So the question came up, what do I do with my estate plan? They thought that they should just give it to them outright. Well, is that wise to give, let's say they had $2 million and two kids, to give them $1 million outright and they're in their 20s? I'm going to come back to that question because I've got a caller on the line, but there are multiple options that you have in dealing with an estate like that and things that you can do for the benefit of the child. Sometimes giving them an outright distribution could be very harmful. Let's go to Randy in Dunedin or Dundee?
Dundee, Florida.
Dundee, okay.
How are you doing today, my friend?
Good, and you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for asking. Hey, I got a quick question. You know, my father just passed away in Wisconsin about a few weeks ago, and we just kind of, just with what he left and how he left everything for his kids, well, my mom was 5 years ago, and my dad probably a month ago. They did pretty well setting everything up, and all the children were kind of like, man, they did such a good job. They made us kind of think about how we have to put, you know, on our bank accounts, you know, beneficiaries, stuff like this, stuff that, you know, I didn't know, and people that I work with didn't know neither. So they did a great job with it. But my question is, with a will, is it something that we can do as my wife and I on our own? Or is it something that we have to go to an attorney to actually get done?
Well, the answer is you can do it on your own. But let me tell you that I've reviewed many documents where people tried to do it on their own and they didn't do a very good job or made a mistake or didn't understand some words in the online forms they were getting or what have you.
Right.
Let me also tell you that we are charged for doing a will is like $125, so we don't really charge that much for a will. Some of these online services charge $60, $80, or I mean they can charge even more than I charge, and I'm doing it, explaining it to you, having it witnessed and notarized, and you have peace of mind that it's, hopefully you have peace of mind that it's done exactly the way you want and all your questions are answered. And plus, we don't charge the people who want to call in later and ask me questions, you know, at the office, you know, as well as the radio. But and then you have a relationship with an attorney that has your file that also could be of some help perhaps to your children when the time comes.
Yeah, well, we at this point don't have any attorney on our force.
So yeah,
I've been listening the last few months to you, so I think I would like to hear a few things. But well, one of my questions, my wife and I just dropped off at work, said, hey, you know, I wonder if we can do our own will. Because, you know, we're great writers and we can word things well, but I think you're correct in making sure that every jot and tittle is done right. Because I guess after reading my dad's will, there are some things that are kind of complicated, but, I mean, they're technical terms, but once you're... Even if we put them in layman's term, it's still, I guess there could be a conflict. But
yeah, also, really you probably need to... Are you in Polk County?
Yes, we're in Polk County.
Yeah, okay. So we have two offices in Polk, by the way. We have an office in Davenport and Lakeland.
And again, Davenport. Okay.
Yes, sir. And we don't charge for performance to come in to discuss this. But one of the discussions you should have with an attorney, whoever you choose to have this with, should be about whether you need a will or a trust.
Okay.
Because if you just have a will and die, there's going to be certain assets that have to go through probate. Now, I heard you saying it was good to have beneficiaries on accounts. Well, it's good, but a trust might be better because with beneficiaries on account, nothing really happens until death. And with a trust, you can have someone be in charge of your estate for your benefit while you're living if you have an illness, stroke, or accident or something.
Also, that's the difference because I do know that my dad left a will. There's four children in it, but there's one that was an executor, one who was, who actually dealt with everything. I didn't even know that the will. You just mentioned something about a trustee. I didn't know you could just you get a will done, but, you know, there's another type, I guess.
Well, see, that's a disadvantage of trying to do something yourself, too. You're not really aware of all the choices that you can make and have a discussion with someone who, you know, does this all the time.
Well, you just exposed my weakness on that, so yeah, I appreciate it.
All right, well, no problem.
That's what we want to do. So I'll be in next week, and we can talk about it. I thank you for your time and for spending your weekends.
No problem. I love doing this. I've done it for a long, long time. I guess it's in my blood. I'm addicted to helping people on Saturday mornings.
Wow. All right. Like Jesus.
All right.
It. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Phone lines are open. Hey, that was a great call. I enjoyed talking to Randy there. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. And let's go to Cole in Sarasota.
Yes, good morning.
Hey, Cole.
Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, my pleasure.
My question is on a revocable trust. the revocable trust shows it listed as sister one and sister two.
Well, as what? As a successor trustee?
As trustees. There's no executor to it.
Well, no, the executor, the personal representative it's called, is named in the will. The successor trustees are named in the trust. But go ahead.
Well, what it says is my wife is listed first.
Mm-hmm.
And then her sister, and it comes up. And meanwhile, the bank wants it changed to, sister and or sister. And why is that?
Well, I can say I've probably done close to 50,000 estate planning documents. And I never would in a trust put and or as the successor or trustee. So we always name one first and one second, and only the one that's named first will have anything to do if they're capable of doing it. So I would disagree with the bank that they are requesting that.
Okay, so then in other words, like my wife is listed first.
She's in charge.
So then she's in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
well,
so
okay, wait, hold on. As the person that created the trust passed away?
Yes.
Okay, well, yes, she's in charge.
Well,
say, I think even your dog liked that answer. No,
yeah,
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. She's barking at a deer going across the pasture.
Oh, here. Wow.
I'm going to try to step inside away from her so I have another question for you.
All right.
I didn't realize that's how that went. We have paid all the bills and out of our own pocket. And
well, you get reimbursed.
Really dealing with the
You get reimbursed as a trustee.
We're getting having a real difficult time with my sister-in-law. She wants to change to another bank, and she's already contacted some lawyers. So at this point, I didn't realize that since my wife was listed first, that she has total control over it.
She's the trustee.
So I still need to. Yeah, so.
Are you still there? All right, I think we lost Cole here. But Cole, call back, because if you need to continue this conversation, your wife definitely, she's named one and her sister's named two. Her sister needs to be put in her proper place of not really having the authority to make the trustee. She can certainly make some suggestions, and conversations are very good in these estate type of matters, but the answer is your wife is the first trustee and she's the one that's in charge. But please call back, and I don't know why we got disconnected there. Let's go to Tim in Plant City.
So, good morning, and thank you for doing what you do. And in keeping with this line of thought, I own I'm 100% owner of a corporation that owns a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And my oldest son runs it with me, mm-hmm. and my question specifically has to do with the difference between a will, a trust, or the only other term I know is some kind of succession document, and how I would accomplish making certain that I don't want him to have to go through probate. I just want this to go directly to his control, direction, ownership. How do I do that?
All right, well, the three main choices I'll say in estate planning are do nothing, have a will, or have a trust. So if you do nothing, the state of Florida makes a will for you. So let's see, if you do nothing or make a will, basically you have a will whether you sign one or not. The difference between wills and trusts are that when you have a will and die, anything that's just in a deceased person's name, like your home and maybe a bank account or two or financial account, is in a deceased person's name. So then it's the only way to get it out of a deceased person's name is through a probate process. If you do a living trust, then you transfer accounts from your name to your name trustee, and then the asset is in the trust. You still own and control it. It still has your tax number. It's not a different entity or anything. Your son could be a successor trustee, transfer everything to himself out of the trust after he pays his debts and taxes and so forth, and there's no probate. So a living trust is just a fancy will that helps people avoid the probate process. It's one big advantage.
All right, and then one last question, because that clears up for me really well. What would be? It's a fairly simple. I mean, this is the corporation. It owns everything mm-hmm. having to do with this franchise. What is something like that document, the preparation, the execution of that document cost?
We have a flat fee. Are you single or married?
Single.
Okay, so this fee for a single person in a trust package, and all this is on our website, by the way, is $695. So that includes a living trust, a pour-over will, it's called, to catch the loose ends, more or less, a durable power of attorney with health care, surrogate living will, deed of your home to the trust. And transferring your business as a corporation to the trust is something that I can walk you through. But if you have a corporate book with some stock certificates in the back, it's just a simple matter of getting the second one of those into the trust to avoid probate. And, wow. Tim, just to let you know, we have an office. All of my Plant City, well, I would say most of my Plant City clients come to the Lakeland office, which is fairly close.
Okay.
All right.
Very good. And do you have other attorneys that work with you, or do you do the work?
I come to the Lakeland office. We have an office in Sun City Center, and we have an office in Lakeland. So you kind of have a choice, but most of the Plant City people come to the Lakeland office, and I go to both of those offices.
Excellent.
All right.
All right. So I can just go online and make an appointment and...
Well, just call. Let me give you the toll-free number to call. Actually, I have an 863 number for you. So it's 863-422-1370.
Very good, sir.
All right. Thank you so much. Looking forward to seeing you. All right.
Yes, sir. Bye.
We have 20 office locations around Florida, since we're talking about that a little bit. I'm in Jacksonville today, having had a pretty full day yesterday seeing clients in the Jacksonville area. We have 20 offices. I don't go to all of those offices. The ones that I go to are basically in Pinellas, Hillsborough, Polk County, but in Jacksonville. So we do have other attorneys who do other offices. We have an office. We had a call from Sarasota there. We have an office in Lakewood Ranch. We have offices in Claremont, Leesburg, the Villages. When I'm in Jacksonville, I see clients all the way from Jacksonville to the Palm Coast area. So we have offices in Trinity and Pasco. So if we can be of help to you, again, we don't charge for that first meeting to discuss your options, review your documents. Our toll-free office number is 1-800-226-3529. 1-800-226-3529. We also do hospital visits and nursing home visits, and if you're totally unable to come to one of our offices, we try to figure out a way to still help you, and we do some visits that way. Last week when I, no, 2 weeks ago I was in Jacksonville, and on the way back to the Tampa area, we stopped and met a client, actually to sign some papers at Flagler Beach. So we try to be helpful to as many people as we possibly can in all kinds of ways. So if you want to call the show, we are, let's see, what are we? We're about a third of the way through the show, I guess. But phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. By the way, one of the things beside the radio show I like to do is to go out and speak to groups. Now, the size of the group really doesn't matter too much. I've spoken to 10 or 15 people, and I've spoken to, I did a church service one Sunday morning with three services and spoke to like 5,000 people. So the size of the group really doesn't matter. I enjoy the small groups. I enjoy the bigger groups and everything in between. There's no charge for me to come to your group. What usually happens is we have a topic. A lot of times it's estate planning, but it doesn't have to be. And most of the time there's a question and answer period, depending on how much time I'm allotted to the program. Sometimes we talk 20 minutes, take questions for 10, but the time can be I've done two-hour presentations and 15-minute presentations, so it really doesn't matter. Whatever it's allotted on the program is fine with me. If you'd like a speaker, if you'd like myself or one of my other attorneys to come to your group, here's the toll-free number. It's 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. And all you have to do is go to extension 200 and say, I heard Mr. Pippin on the radio, and my group would love to have him come speak. And you give me a date, and then we try to make that happen for you. Again, there's no charge left doing that. If you would like the poster sheet that somebody referred to here on one of the calls, it's a free estate planning poster sheet on your three options in estate planning, a lot of information about your three options and the choices you have to make. On one side of the sheet, on the other side of the sheet, has all of our office locations, website information, radio stations, and that kind of information. If you'd like it, I'd love to mail it to you. And you have three ways to get it. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me your request for it at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. You can text me for it. I need your name and address at 727-667-3967. Text number for, I just need your name and address at 727-667-3967. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call the show, you have a toll-free number. Love to help you talk to you. I'd much rather talk to you than talk to just talk myself and let you listen. It's much more fun talking and helping people on the radio. Phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And again, phone lines are open. We're here to help as many people as we possibly can. All you have to do is to dial that number. So one of the first things I was starting to talk about in between calls was the couple that came in, had a two-minute, let's just, facts aren't exactly the same, but I'm just trying to have a discussion point here on what to do in some circumstances on estate planning. So a couple has a $2 million estate. They have two children. Children are 24 and 26. So the question came up, it was, well, what do you do? Do you just leave it outright to the two children? If you died unexpectedly, you know, in the next month, what would they do with $1 million each? Well, I can tell you some would not be very wise with it. Some would be under the influence of other people on what to do with it. That could be bad advice. Some people would do really foolish things with it, and it would be gone. Other kids sometimes are subject to addictions, and it could be wasted. So with that much money, sometimes people do a stretch. So they stretch it out so that makes it last for a period of time for their kids. So let's just say, well, I don't want to give them all at once, so I want them to get it $50,000 over each year for 20 years. Well, hey, $50,000, that's $4,000, let's say $48,000. So it'd be $4,000 a month for, it's like winning a lotto, $4,000 a month for 20 years. Now, you know, when I said like winning a lotto, you've died. So that's really a sad time. So I'm talking about you being wise on how you leave assets to your children. Most children would rather have you than having $4,000 a month. I fully understand that. But also you have to be wise on what you do with it. You don't want to, harmful things can be, somebody gets a large sum of money, that can be really a harmful thing in their life, actually, instead of a good thing. All right, let's go to Laura in St. Petersburg.
Good morning, Joe.
Hey, Laura, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I've been listening to you for a number of years, and I finally decided the time has come to just ask Joe Pippin. The problem I have is that it is in estate planning.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried for a long, long, long time to get my husband to do estate planning. And here's my problem. My husband said that both of our children are grown, well-educated, on their way, independent adults. My problem is that my husband thinks that we don't need an estate planner. Everything we own is in joint ownership. The house that we own, the cars that we own, you know, everything is in joint ownership. And my husband said, well, you know, if something happens to me, everything goes to you. So there's not a problem. If something happens to you, everything goes to me. Not a problem. The problem is, what if something happens to both of us at the same time?
Exactly.
We have no will.
I think you've heard me say that before. That's exactly right. So what happens if you both, you know, here's the thing that he probably hasn't thought about. Suppose you both have a car accident. Suppose you become incapacitated but still living. You see, if you've done some estate planning and have a trust, the successor trustee's job then is to manage the money inside that trust for your benefit as long as you live, so you won't be declared incompetent.
Okay.
So maybe the question to ask him is, if you have a stroke or an accident, do you want to be declared incompetent, or do you want to do some good estate planning to avoid that?
Well, my husband's on the golf course right now, but I can predict what he would answer. He would answer, well, you'll take care of me.
You're both in an accident at the same time.
Yeah. That's what worries me. We have no will. We had a will years and years and years ago. We have two children, 6 years apart. One was college educated. The second one wasn't, and so we, made sure that we covered that. But that's old and out of date, and at this point we have literally nothing. And my worry is, as we're about to take off for yet another vacation, what if something happens to the two of us? We're together all the time, mm-hmm. Joe. So we obviously need something. So, and I need help.
Well, threaten not to go on vacation with him until he gets his estate planning done.
I can't. Everything's booked. And we're committed.
Well, just, hey, you can play a little hardball here. You threaten not to cook any more meals until he gets it done. Threaten him with something.
He's Greek. He cooks his own.
Oh.
Well, no. The thing is, off on a side, the thing is, we need something, and I listen to you week in and week out, and I obviously, we need professional help, and we need to plan an estate so that if something happens.
Well, hey, listen, tell him, you can tell him this is not, I can make this not a very, it can be a very quick, we can do it in one visit. He can get it over with, and he doesn't have to listen to you complain about it anymore.
That's exactly what I want. I need to make an appointment at one of your offices with one of your estate planners.
Yeah, it would probably you're in St. Pete, so it'd be me, and the appointment would be in Largo.
Okay, that's very doable for me. And how do I start that process?
Just call our Pinellas numbers 586.
586-3306. 3306.
And they go to extension 200. And actually, the young lady that answers the phone most of the time, her name is Laura. So
okay.
It's spelled a little differently, but it's Lara. But but she'll get you all set up.
Okay, I'll tell you what. We're planning yet another trip. We're booked to leave this Wednesday, but what I'm going to do is call your office on Monday morning, make an appointment, and hopefully we both come back.
I know I could see you Monday at 4:30.
Monday?
Yeah.
4?
Check the forecast. If it's raining and he can't play golf and it's Monday's available to him, make him come in.
And Monday's a golf day, too. But you know what? I'm going to play hardball.
There you go.
Monday, we have an appointment. No more. No golf. No golf.
There you go.
Change that to Tuesday. Monday at 4 o'clock would be fine.
No, you have time to make up to him on the trip. All right, Laura, thanks.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, Joy.
Let's go to Jackie in Dade City.
Joe, thank you for taking my call. I just have a quick question about enhanced life estate deeds.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that on a property that has a mortgage?
Yes. Yeah, it's called the Ladybird deed. I mean, enhanced deed is the same thing, but it's a Ladybird deed. And you can do that. If you compare whether you should do a Ladybird deed, an enhanced life estate deed, versus a trust, I would tell you I think a trust is better. Because the successor trustee can deal with assets while you're living, and a Ladybird deed, which puts the beneficiary on the property upon to be distributed upon death, even though it can be changed during your lifetime, doesn't really give you a plan of guardianship, trying to avoid guardianship while you're living. So if you had the two choices, of whether you do, if your main goal is to do that to avoid probate, and your two choices are a Ladybird deed or a trust, I would choose a trust if it were me, I would do a trust.
I see. Thank you so much, Joe. I appreciate your time.
All right. But it's a mortgage company. It's not really dealing with anything about except for where the property goes upon death. So it's not a transfer now to a different person. So the mortgage company shouldn't have a problem with that, is the answer.
I see. Will they call in the note out upon death then?
Well, if it's to a family member, usually not. But it's something that the answer might be different based on the different mortgage companies. But that would be the same answer, though, with a trust or enhancement deed. If it's to a family member, they just usually let the family member assume the mortgage. Might be a little paperwork involved, but they get to assume the mortgage. If it's a whole different entity, like a charity or a non-family member, it could be a different answer.
I see. Thank you. You've answered my question.
All right.
I appreciate your time.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Let's go to Karen in Tampa.
Hi. It's curious that the last caller mentioned Lady Bird.
Yes.
Deed or trust. My mother is survived my father. There are three children for each one, so make six children that will deal with the estate after my mother passes. She just recently decided that to keep her house from going into probate when she dies, that she would do a Lady Bird, and she never told me whether it was a deed or a trust. But the catch is, she now tells me, I'm executrix of the will, that the house will be sold and the proceeds will be divided by six. The catch is, some of the other children...
See, that would not be true with a ladybird deed.
Uh-huh.
And if you are the executor, you don't really have authority over what happens to that property or even the right to sell it. If it's a ladybird deed, it's distributed to six people.
Uh-huh.
So mother might not have the story quite right.
Right.
Or she might be confused about what happens upon death if she's created the ladybird deed. You wouldn't be the executor or personal representative of the property if it's subject to a ladybird deed. And then that's another good reason to do a trust, because if you, who wants to be an owner with five other people on a piece of real estate? And you do want that property sold and divided to the heirs. I wouldn't suggest you do that with a ladybird deed, because then you're just going to have six owners to deal with. If it's in a living trust, then you could be the successor trustee of the trust, and then you'd have the power to sell it and divide the money.
Okay. So the ladybird really isn't what she should have done with that, correct?
It's not, definitely not what I would have recommended she do with it.
Okay. Because she had told me, the lawyer that put together the ladybird, I don't know whether it was deed or trust, indicated that the children who owe her money would not be responsible to pay that back, where she has given me a codicil saying each one owes this much, and from what they get from the estate, what they owe will be minused away from their share and split six ways.
No, see, if she had the...
nothing to do?
Well, here's okay. You know, it's hard with not being able to see the documents. If, in fact, she has a ladybird deed and the remainder interest is to six kids, then that has nothing to do with a will or trust in the money the kids owe them. Or
okay.
owe her.
Right.
So... But if the will says they owe money, you see, you're already given the property away upon death. It's already owned by the six kids, so it's not much you can do, not much control you can do to adjust the amount that they get because of money, the money owed to mother.
I see.
If it was all in the trust, it certainly would be a lot easier to make the adjustments necessary because of the money
Excellent.
Owed.
Great. Okay, so a living trust is really where we need to... beheaded.
Well, that's what I would think. I mean, if you wanted to, since I don't represent mother at this point, if you wanted to bring her documents in and let me review them with you and you're my client, I could advise you what I think should be done.
I get it. Great.
If mother was my client, I couldn't do that, but since she's probably not, because that doesn't sound like the advice I would give, I could represent you and telling you what I think of what should be done.
Great. Wonderful. Great. Thank you so much. You've answered my questions
today. All right.
Today.
Thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. Yep, still practicing. I guess I'll always practice my whole life, you know. They say, why you've been practicing law for a long time? Why is it still called practicing? I don't know. That's just the way it is. If you have a legal question, though, you can call our toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. We got a little bit over 10 minutes left. You still have time to call. 877-943-9673. If I can help you in any way, please give me a call. If you'd like our free estate planning poster sheet, I'd love to mail it to you. There are three ways that you can get, well, it's actually probably four ways if you want to stop by the office and pick one up. But if you want to call our office, you can call for the poster sheet. Just give them your name and address. You call for an appointment. There's no charge for first appointments. Our toll-free office number is 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me. Our website, by the way, is www.attypip.com. www.attypip.com. You can email me your name and address if you'd like to post your sheet at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. You can text me for the poster sheet with your name and address, or you can actually can email or text that you'd like to make an appointment as well, and I'll have a staff member call you. Text number 727-667-3967. 727-667-3967. Hey, phone lines are open for the next 9 minutes. Open lines for you to call in. 877-943-9673 is the show number. 877-943-9673. Hey, sometimes a married couple comes in, and one of them might have an illness, and they've been thinking about how things are going to work out in the future, and they're concerned about if the survivor, what they're going to do with the assets. And sometimes they're worried about if the survivor is going to get remarried and whether the kids that they have would ever receive an inheritance. So let's say in an example, just for example purposes, that the wife is the one that's sick. The wife has some type of cancer. She was the younger one, but she's got cancer and she's sick. Let's say they have two kids. And the wife is worried now that she's sick, that if she died, the husband would remarry. And then all of the assets they've accumulated jointly would then go to the new wife and not the children. Is there anything that wife can do to prevent everything going and nothing going to her children? Well, I recently had a conversation with a client about all this, and really, if everything was jointly held, everything would belong to the survivor. Survivor could do whatever they want to. If they got remarried, they could be smart, maybe, and have a premarital agreement and have the new spouse waive rights, their spousal rights. The sick spouse could create assets just in their name and leave those to children. Directly, although there are some spousal rights involved, but really that's really just a sit down conversation with an attorney to figure out the best way to do that. And I would talk more about that, but now I've gone loaded up with phone calls. Let's go to Joe calling. Hey, Joe.
Oh, hi. I was wondering, you were talking about, you know, worrying about what the heirs would do with the money.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might squander it or
yes,
whatever issues. What if you set up some kind of a trust where you had all the money in the S&P 500, let's say, and your heirs only got the dividends. And then when they passed on, their heirs would get, or, you know, their children would get the dividends. So something like on a really long-term basis so that all your future heirs could just get dividends and then the money to sit there and just continuing to grow, yeah, theoretically, in the S&P 500.
Yeah, you can do that. You have to decide who the trustee would be, Usually you wouldn't put the heirs themselves as a trustee of their own money, so you usually would have an independent trustee.
Now, can you have, what if you don't have anybody that you really trust to be the trustee, or you don't know if that person, I mean, what if you want this thing to go on for 50 years or 100 years? Can that go that long? Can you?
Yeah, with that case, you'd have a corporate trustee.
And where do you find these corporate trustees?
Well, all banks or most banks have trust departments. Most broker houses, the big broker houses, have trust departments. There are some independent trust departments. Sometimes, for example, someone might want me to be the trustee, maybe the successor to my firm to be a trustee. Then we'd put a corporate trustee down at the bottom in case me or my successor aren't living that long.
Right.
So there's a way to do it. You have multiple choices on how to do that.
When people, I've heard the term before, like people say, oh, he's a trust fund person or he has a trust fund. Is that what they're talking about?
Yeah, they're a trust fund baby where the parents left them the money and they didn't have to work. But if you give them income only, they still might have to work.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, a small income just to, you know, make sure that, you know, just to help out, but not enough to kill them. Because I have literally, I was in property management for a lot of years. I've literally seen people killed by
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. It can be harmful. You're calling from what city?
St. Petersburg.
Okay. Yep, you can definitely do that. I do that all the time, actually. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in Largo a lot, though, so... If that's what you get to, but
no, I like to make a list of all my calls and where they call from. So that's
yes.
All right. Okay. Well, yeah, you can definitely do that.
Okay.
It's very common. Great. All right. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Jackie in Tampa.
Yeah. Hi, Mr. Pippin. How you doing?
Good. And you?
Good. Good. I've been listening to you for several years. I appreciate your services.
My pleasure.
Yeah. I just have a quick question. I've got a rental home, and there's some caveats to the question, but mainly, I've got a situation where the tenants broke the lease. They got out a month early, and there's a clause in the lease that says there's a $3,000 amount due if the tenant breaks the lease.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we had decided that they had already given last month's rent, so I just kept that for the month that they moved, and then the last month that they were not in the home. You know, I had a delay in getting it rented and some other things. So the tenant is actually requesting to have his deposit returned, and keeping the deposit would not quite get me that $3,000. It would be the last month's rent that we agreed upon, and then he had a $1,000 deposit. So it'd be $2,500. He's talking about getting legal help to get his deposit back from me. I'm just kind of wondering, you know, what direction.
Well, has he left?
Yep, he's out of the home.
How long ago?
It's been since the end of April.
Did you give him reason in writing why we're keeping the money?
I didn't. It does say that you have 30 days to state why you're keeping the deposit monies. But in the lease, it says he signed to the agreement that says if there's an early termination, there's a $3,000 fee, and I could also seek further damages.
Yeah, I would say contractually you're in a great position.
So I don't need to do anything with him in writing, per se.
I would, if you've already given him in writing while you're keeping it, or you're keeping it pursuant to the contract clause.
I haven't done that. It just states in the lease, the box.
Oh, I would,
and he signed his name to it.
I would respond to him by you're keeping the money per the contract clause, paragraph so-and-so, that says if he terminates early, you're subject to a $3,000 fine or penalty.
So get that to him in writing.
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
And then if you get a letter, just have the attorney respond to it that way and then just see what happens, I guess.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to tell my producer in Tampa to have Michelle give me a call on my cell phone in about 10 minutes or so, because I'm not going to have time to take. Well, let's try to talk to Michelle real quick. Hey, Michelle.
Hey, how are you?
If I don't have finish, you can call me on my cell phone, okay? All right.
I have an 18-year-old child. I set up a will when he was like 10. We did all the will and everything. They said that we probably need to set up a trust once he becomes a little older. So my question would be, he's the only child, the only heir. Is that a necessity? I mean, is that something we should do? Would it protect him if he were to get married? I kind of don't know how that works.
No, your trust can leave him money at 21 or 25, but use for medical, college, things like that ahead of time. I'm going to give out my cell phone. If you want to call me, I'll be glad you hear the music. I've got to go. So I have one other caller that wants to call me. So wait about 10 minutes. My cell number is 727-667-3967. 727-667-3967. Everyone have a great, great weekend. Thanks for calling. Be safe.